Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Sports Sunday here on 93.7 The Fan. Jeff Hathorn with you, with Matt Harkins. And let's get the news out of the way. Maddie, big news for you. Congratulations.
I know. A month of being engaged. Well, almost 2 months of being engaged now, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. People know Matt Harkins. You've been doing this forever. I think you've been here as long as I have.
2013, yeah.
Wow. So have you set a date?
Next September, September 28th.
Okay.
It was the one decision I made. Everything else is her decision.
Oh, you get this, don't you?
Already, I get this.
You are wise beyond your years. But what you have to do is strategically nod your head.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, just kind of question something just so you show you're interested when you may not be in the color of the napkins at the reception. But you just kind of like, oh, yeah. Do you sure you want it? Okay, no, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, she knows you're not just checking out of the whole process.
I mean, let be her sounding board when she wants to vent every now and then. Yeah.
I have a buddy of mine who has a hearing disability, so he has hearing aids. And there was one time where his wife was just going, like, just on a roll. And he looked over at me and he winked and he had turned his hearing aids off. And he says he's done it a few times. And she'll just go. And then when she's done, he'll just nod. You know, like, you know, you got to do that every once in a while.
He hasn't gotten in trouble yet. I mean, one of these times he's going to agree to something when he's nodding. He's not going to remember what he agreed to.
That's all right. It's all right. It's better that than the other way. You know, we'll get into Pirates striking out 17 times. That was rough. It's been a rough month. Can June get here soon enough? Although, you know, they're still in this race. Of course, so are the Reds. So is everybody in the division. But, you know, we'll get into Steelers OTAs and all the questions that we get asked about OTAs and how so-and-so looks. But I've got to address, I mean, went to a concert last night and got home and turned it on and saw the last 4 minutes of the NBA game. And listen, I'm not the biggest NBA guy. I'll watch some games occasionally during the regular season. Nikola Jokic has my full attention. I am fascinated with the way he plays the game because it is like he's in the Matrix where he's going in slow motion and everybody else is going faster, but yet they can't catch the right speed that Nikola is. And he just... he's fascinating. Like, his vision, his ability to shoot from different arm angles and where it doesn't seem to matter. He can get hit and it throws his shot off, but yet he finds a way to knock it in. And then, you want to let him go because you don't want him to drive on you? He'll hit that three. You get up on close on him, he'll drive it past you. He'll grab the rebound and take it all the way down the court and have a perfect bounce pass. So I look forward to seeing whoever Denver gets. And obviously, we're nearing a historic comeback. But it looked like the Heat had it. Heat had fought back from 10 down. Jimmy Butler gets fouled. Originally called a two. They review it, and they say it's a three. But But here's another part that's crucial about that review. Obviously, it has to be three, or Miami doesn't take the lead, as Butler made three free throws as they were down two. But they also changed the clock. The clock read 2.5 seconds, but they upped it to three, which you might think, okay, what's the difference, 0.5 seconds? If you didn't see the end, it was all the difference, because Smart's miss tipped in with 0.1 second to play. And that what we love about sports is what kills us about sports, going from the, all right, Boston's got this, let's get ready, got a home game, let's go, to watching that lead evaporate, to watching Miami take the lead on a foul, which it was a foul, to then after that missed shot, for that 2.9 seconds, you're thinking, damn. And then even when it was tipped in, there was question, like, did he get it off? I mean, the series ends if he doesn't tip that in. And Colin White is able to tip that in because no one boxed him out. I saw Brooke Pryor from ESPN was tweeting out, and she was a basketball player, and she said, you know, after Jimmy Butler, I guess this is why we shoot so many free throws in practice, or why we used to. Well, there's also box out drills. And now you know why there are box out drills, because when a shot goes up, you need to box people out. And when you don't, that happens. And now it goes to Boston for a game seven. And I grew up in a time where there were a lot of people around here that rooted for the Celtics. It was Bird, McHale. Like, it was the passion of that series. So because of that, I hated the Celtics. And to this day, hate the Celtics. Screw them. I wanted Miami to win. I don't – all these bandwagon Boston, I don't, you know, wherever that – I know this is not an NBA city. I'd root for Cleveland before I'd root for Boston. Like, come on. So as a kid, I rooted for the 76ers. And L.A., because those are the two teams that were Boston's rivals. Dr. J, and then got into Kareem and Magic. And not that I loved the Lakers necessarily, and wouldn't consider myself at all a Lakers fan, but between the two, yeah, I'll take L.A. every single time. Every single time. And then, you know, you get older and you get into these games where you go up to New England for these Steelers-Patriots games and you run into Patriots fans. Yeah, I made the right call. But, man, if you're a Miami fan, ouch, ouch, ouch. You probably thought it was going game seven. You come back to take the lead. You need one stop. One. And what really was a rush shot off the inbound. Like, you defended the inbound well. Tatum didn't have it. That's the one guy you didn't really want having the ball. You just forgot to box out. And the Celtics win. And, I mean, there'll be one person in Miami, I think maybe one, that will believe the Heat will win in Boston for game seven. Meanwhile, Denver waits. So that was rough. I mean, hell of a game, great sports moment. Couldn't stand the outcome. Couldn't stand the Pirates' outcome yesterday. Listen, you're facing a pitcher that brings it. It's not like the first time they've seen Castillo, but that was rough. I mean, yeah, that was bad. And listen, what we've seen from the Pirates, people got so excited in April. I mean, there's talk of playoffs. There's talk of 90-plus wins. Like, it has to be. I mean, you're 12 games over 500. There's no chance. Like, it's just going to roll right into the postseason, or roll right into a 90-win season. Like, man, they've taken three steps up when they were expected to take maybe a half to one. And they're doing it without Cruz. Like, look out for this team. And this is what teams that are developing do. They're inconsistent. That's why they're still developing. That's why they need more. That's why when you have these, especially the young starters, and they haven't really even been a problem, although there obviously have been some games where Contreras, his fastball command has been spotty. Oviedo has shown good and bad. You know, Luis Ortiz is going to go today in Seattle. He's been, he was good at his last outing. The first couple were a struggle. And then the other thing that happened yesterday, and I've had the opportunity, when Vince Velasquez was signed, let's face it, it's not like you looked at it and went, oh, all right, Pirates got this figured out. They got Vince Velasquez now. That was not the case at all. It was like, okay, why are you adding this 30-year-old, giving him a chance? And he pitched. He was spectacular. He was a big part of that run. And if you could hear, and it's the other human side with these guys. Listen, they get paid a lot of money. The reason they get booed, I get all of that. Man, Velasquez was excited about being here, not just the opportunity to start, but if you could hear him the time we talked to him, well, a couple of times we talked to him in April, man, he was like, I love this team. I love the energy in here, you know, being with Hill and Kutch and Hedges and some of the other veterans. Like, I love mentoring, talking to these young pitchers and showing them what I can. And then he went out and did it by example. Because it's, you know, you don't just bring in guys where you say, oh, you bring in veteran leadership where they talk. Well, they've got to show it. And Velasquez was showing it. Like, McCutchen, for the most part, is showing it. Santana's showing it defensively. Spotty offensively. And Rich Hill has had his pretty good moments as a, you know, 40-something left-hander of how you have accountability. I think that's one of the big things with Rich. But with Velasquez, like, he was loving this chance and loving these guys, and then to see him go down with elbow discomfort again, which is the same injury he left the game March or May 4th in Tampa with, and that's rough. Like, when you meet the person and you see what he had put into this season and the start that he had, and then to see that kind of fall apart for him, that's hard for Velasquez. It's going to give Ortiz a chance. Maybe Quinn Priester, although Priester was really roughed up yesterday. Walked six guys in an inning and two-thirds. He had an awesome May, and then it just kind of fell apart for him last night against Columbus in AAA. So I don't know if that prohibits Priester from being a guy that's going to be called up recently. They just keep Ortiz in this rotation, and we'll see. It's just elbow discomfort. We'll find more information. Of course, the GM show coming up this afternoon here on 93.7 The Fan as the Pirates look to win before May ends their first series this month. Now just one game over 500. Can they get that first series win this month? And that happens today with Luis Ortiz. You can hear it right here on 93.7 The Fan. Steelers are in OTAs. And it's the question you get all the time. Oh, how does so-and-so look? What's up with this guy? And most of you probably know, listen, we have these restrictions going into, we can watch practice, but we basically can't tell you anything that happened in it. It's a weird thing for media people because we're used to seeing something, reporting it, because, you know, that's what we do. You see it, you tell people what you saw to make them explain it. Well, this is different. We see it, and then it's part of the Steelers rule, NFL rule, like, hey, we allow you to watch practice, but you can't really say much, but it gives you good background information. That being said, yeah, there are some things to be excited about this year. And there are also some things that you see. But listen, I can remember times with Claypool last year, with guys like Chris Rainey. There have been players that have come in that are undrafted free agents and you look at them at OTAs or even minicamp and you're thinking, okay, wait till these guys, wait till Quincy Roche hits the field and becomes that other linebacker other than TJ. It's going to be Roche. He's going to outdo Highsmith because, man, this guy can play. And then you get into preseason games, or sometimes in Roche's case, he really starred in preseason. So you get into regular season games, it's like, yeah, okay. So even if I were to tell you everything that I saw at Steelers OTAs, like, it's in shorts. There's no real hitting. If you go across the middle and you're a receiver, you're not going to get drilled. If you're an offensive lineman who struggles, maybe you can see a little of why you struggle, but really, there's no physicality yet. If you're a pass rusher, you can't hit a quarterback. So, yeah, you might make a swim move or you might have a spin move on a guy that's kind of half blocking you and you get into the vicinity of the quarterback. That doesn't mean that you keep contained. That doesn't mean that you bring the quarterback down. It just means that maybe you were in the area. And think about Derek Tuzga's guys at Cassius Marsh that have had, oh, okay, I saw this guy at training camp, and, oh, he's going to be great. Well, you just don't know. So I think the things that you look into with the Steelers are this. What are guys saying about guys? For instance, there isn't a player that isn't talking about the way Kenny Pickett is handling himself. The swagger, yet not cocky. The captain tendencies that he showed at Pitt, like, he's now comfortable at doing that. He's been on the field. He had to earn his way from third string quarterback at this time last year to get to backup quarterback to start the season. And then, of course, in that Jets game, became the Steelers' starting quarterback. And then the last eight games of the season had one interception. Are the numbers where you know he still has work to do, but the way he works, that's the other thing. It's the leadership part of it and how he handles himself and how he has a command of the playbook and is now willing to tell other guys, like, hey, you screwed up. Like, he doesn't have to wait anymore or worry about stepping on somebody. Like, whether it's a 10-year vet like Allen Robinson or a second-year guy like George Pickens, or, you know, Darnell Washington, he feels comfortable now telling them, hey, why don't you look here? Or they can have honest conversations. Those things can go sideways when the emotion of the season hits. But what you see from Kenny is that. And then you hear about the hard work. Guys that have seen him, you know, working out, worked out beside him, gone down to Florida to work out with him some. Those are things that you're encouraged about hearing. Patrick Peterson discussing how far ahead of the game Joey Porter is because of some of that football knowledge. Those are things I think that are tangible that you can take from OTAs and say, okay, this is good or bad if you hear opposite things, which you normally don't hear. It's an optimistic time of year. This time of year. So don't worry too much about, man, how is this? I could tell you this about Darnell Washington. He's big. He's a big guy. When he stands in a huddle, you see who he is. Even with some of the size on that team. Like, if he and Gentry are on both ends, like, in a way, it's almost goalposts. It seems like they stand out with the other guys in the middle. But you'll see soon enough what happens when Washington's running down the middle of the field and an NFL player hits him, or he has to make that big catch, or he has to make that big block. We'll talk more OTAs and more of how Dan Moore and Kevin Dotson are handling essentially being replaced or at some point here soon being replaced as starters on that offensive line. We'll go through that. Some of the other questions with the Steelers. Ray Fittipaldo is going to join us at 9:20 to discuss that. We're also going to hear from a Pirates pitcher. we mentioned Priester and need for that rotation. We know Rich Hill isn't going to be a part of this, maybe not even in August, be a part of the Pirates anymore. There aren't many lefty arms. Even the prospects in the minors, Priester, Jared Jones, Kyle Nicklaus, Medlinski, although he's a reliever now, they're righties. There's a lefty. Anthony Solometo from New Jersey, picked in the second round. 2 years ago, he was in high school. He's progressing up. He made it through Bradenton last year. He's at High A Greensboro, and he's putting up some numbers.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're going to talk to him coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Dan Kangurski from Pittsburgh Hockey Now is going to join us on the Kyle Dubas situation, because it seems like it's not just the Pens GM job. It's like, will Kyle say yes? And we're at that point. And coming up next, he's a veteran. He's covered the NHL for decades. Most prominently, he covers the Toronto Maple Leafs. NHL.com's Mike Zeisberger gives you some ins and outs on Kyle Dubas. What is he all about? How has he dealt with different situations? What would the Pens get in Dubas? We'll hear from that next, as the Pens need a GM and times are ticking. We continue on this Sports Sunday on 93.7 The Fan. You're hearing that last line reminds me, coming up at about 7:45, most of us know Rocky Blyer is a veteran wounded in Vietnam, but you may have not heard the story of that day. I think it's important on this Memorial Day weekend to hear it. You're going to hear a little bit of what Rocky did, especially when he first was sent over, and then what transpired that day as he tells it. That'll come up at 7:45. You know, so much going on with the Pirates, obviously. Steelers with OTAs. Heck, even Pibb with the ACC talk, and now they're going to, you know, if you're in the playoffs, you get more money as far as revenues for schools, which seems to make a lot of sense. And, you know, getting Papa Conte, I mean, they got a big time front court. I mean, this Pitt front court next year with Federico and Conte, and then you got the Twins, and then if Hinson comes back, I mean, he can rebound the basketball too, and you got William Jeffress back. They're going to finally have that size. They're just going to need some of these young guys to be able to hit shots, that and some of their transfers, but man, they've got an interesting team coming back. So all that news going on, it may be easy to forget, like, hey, the Pens don't have a leader. Still. Their last game was well over a month ago. Nothing. No real leaks either of, like, except for very few. And it seems like, listen, everything is focused on Kyle Dubas. He was discussed – before he was fired from Toronto. He was discussed before Hextall was fired. A little background, he's 37, very much into analytics, as most guys. I mean, it's a big part of the game now. He graduated from Brock University outside of Toronto. He started briefly as an agent and then quickly as a scout in the Ontario Hockey League. He went from scout to assistant GM and then was GM when he was 26 in the OHL. He was a 26-year-old GM. He's hired by the Maple Leafs at age 30 as an assistant GM for arguably the biggest franchise in Canada, let alone the NHL. Montreal would have something to say about that, but go with me here. He took over as GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs at age 33. I mean, the pressure to be the GM of the Maple Leafs can have 20-year vets crying. And he took over at 33. NHL.com's Mike Zeisberger joined Cook and Joe just on Friday. And we're going to talk with Pittsburgh Hockey Now's Dan Kangurski to get another perspective. But this is what Zeisberger said about Kyle Dubas, some of the good things, bad things, what he likes about him. And the final question is, would he be a good choice to be the Pens GM?
Let's be honest, okay? If the Maple Leafs had won more than one playoff round in the 5 years that he was there, on a talented team that sported young, skilled players like Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and William Nylander, veteran John Tavares, Morgan Rielly on the back end. You know, that's where this whole power thing is coming up. It's become a narrative in Toronto. But the bottom line is, you know, Kyle made the moves that, you know, he got the green light for the most part on anything that he wanted to do in terms of team personnel and such. You know, I think he's the thing about Kyle, when he came in, he was very, very heavy on analytics. And that was, they wanted a fast team, they wanted a skilled team. And that was stressed. And they quickly found out in the playoffs that, you know what, you need some muscle to go along with hustle. And I have to admit that Kyle did adapt. I thought he had one of the outstanding trade deadlines, bringing in O'Rielly and Achari from St. Louis. You know, he brought in Jake McCabe and Sam Lafferty from Chicago, and bringing in Luke Shen from Vancouver, who ended up being behind Rielly, their second best defenseman in the playoffs, which is a good thing and a bad thing if you think about a 33-year-old defenseman. So, you know, I think Kyle is very, very smart. He's very, very personable. You know, he likes to do things his way, but he showed that he's adaptable. So I think he's a young, fresh mind, and I think a change of scenery, wherever that might be, you know, and signs pointing to Pittsburgh, you know, obviously I can see why they would be interested in him. You know, the one sticking point, and he told us that after the end of the season, is how much that they, you know, the job had taken its toll on his family. And, you know, he was going to talk to them and see how it went. Now, there's always going to be skeptical people that said, well, that's just his end game of putting that narrative out there while he really wanted more money and more power, and that might be true, but I know Kyle well enough that he wouldn't make up something about the stress that it put on his family. So there's a lot of factors here, but I do think whether it's this year, whether it's next year, whenever he decides to get back into it, you know, he's going to have an influence on whatever organization he goes to. And like I said, it's understandable why the Penguins would be interested.
Hey, Z, something you mentioned there, he wanted speed and skill. That is a perfect complement to what Mike Sullivan wants. And Sullivan has been criticized here for trying to win with that style when it no longer works. How would that work out?
Well, I mean, look, we watched, you know, my advice to anybody is watch the playoffs. Yeah, you can win with speed and skill. You've also got a generational player in Sidney Crosby on that team, and a couple of, you know, if Jenny Malkin's going into the Hall of Fame, I would suggest that Chris Letang's going into the Hall of Fame along with Sid. So, I mean, skill-wise, it's there. But you look at the Florida Panthers and the way that they're winning. Yeah, they win with skill. They also win with Sam Bennett knocking people on their keisters and Matthew Tkachuk getting under the skins of the other team before he scores winning goals, it seems, in every game. So I think that to win in this league, you need a mixture. And I do believe in analytics, but I've yet to see a number that measures how big a heart that a guy has in the playoffs. And I think that means a lot too. And as I mentioned before, the fact that Kyle went out and got a Ryan O'Reilly, when a lot of people were talking about, oh, the Leafs should get Patrick Kane. No, they got enough Patrick Kanes on the team. They needed a blood and guts guy like Ryan O'Reilly. And even though they lost in the playoffs, that was something that Kyle identified the team needed. So there has been a little bit of shift in philosophy. And I think that's what you want to see in a general manager, is somebody that adapts.
All right, Z, why did they only win one playoff series with that roster? And how much is Sheldon Keefe deserve blame for that?
Okay, to your first point, like, you want me to give you the square root of pi? Because I can come up with that a hell of a lot quicker than why they keep losing these series. The bottom line is, as skilled as they are, when the playoffs start, they seem timid with the type of play that goes on in the postseason. And you know what? I mean, here's the bottom line, guys. You can blame the coaches as much as you want, and there are question marks about Sheldon Keefe and how the team translates from the regular season into the playoffs. But you have four guys, Nylander, Matthews, Marner, Tavares, that you are paying over $40 million of your salary cap to. And what are you paying them for? To score goals. Okay? That's almost half your salary cap for four guys. And they went the last seven games in the postseason, the Maple Leafs failed to score more than two goals. Auston Matthews and John Tavares did not score a goal in the second round in five games against the Panthers. So, to me, that seems easy. You're paying guys to score. You're paying half your salary cap for four guys to score, and they don't. So I think that we can look at the coach and we can look at the general manager, but at some point you have to look at the players and go, yeah, you know what? All those beautiful numbers that you put up in the regular season, those are all great and you know, optimistic. But it's what you do in April, May, and June that counts. And when it came up, those guys came up small again. They didn't do what they're paid to do.
Mike Zeisberger on the Nemecolon fan hotline from NHL.com. I don't know, Mike, I'm still torn at this point. You've sort of made him sound like a good candidate, but I guess like every GM, he's got good and bad. But some of the bad is, I don't know why he's this hot of a candidate. That's my question. Really, he had a great trade deadline. There's no doubt about that. It didn't add up to much, but he had a great trade deadline. But some of the mistakes, to me, outweigh the good stuff.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, he's still, even though he's shifted in terms of his philosophy, he's still very analytically based. From what I understand, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but what I've heard around the league is that is something that the Penguins feel that they're lacking in, and that they need to address more.
Isn't everybody analytically based at this point, Mike? Who's not analytically based at this point?
No, I know, but he has, you know, listen, the Maple Leafs led the league in support staff. I mean, whether it was their analytics department, whether it was their hockey department of these coaches, and players got treated under the Dubas regime. They got treated with kid gloves, and some people thought it was too much of a country club, but Kyle is very, very sensitive in terms of trying to give players the best foundation to succeed. Sometimes I think there wasn't enough hard love there. I think that translates into the bottom line. My biggest thing, guys, with the Penguins, okay, Pittsburgh's got a great core. But what direction do you go with this team? I mean, with those veterans, the three veterans that I talked about signed for that long, you know, to me, when I look at that team, it needs an influx of youth. But how do you do that under the cap? And that's where, you know what, I mean, we're going to have to see. We're going to have to see. I mean, should Kyle end up there? It's a different situation from Toronto, because in Toronto, his core was a lot younger than it is in Pittsburgh. So, you know, it would be a fascinating dynamic to be sure. But, yeah, I agree with you, Joe.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
There's a lot of yin versus yang in this Dubas thing, and I think that's accurate.
So bottom line, Z, would you hire him if you're an owner? You know the other guys they're talking to, candidates out there probably. Who's the guy in Dallas, Joe, his name?
Greeley.
Would you hire your guy to be the GM?
Yeah, I think all things considered, it was time in Toronto for him to go. You know, there were just a number of extenuating circumstances, and I think just the lack of success with that group. But yeah, I would. I think he's a smart guy. I think he's behind the, you know, he thinks outside the box. But like anybody, he comes with warts. And the other thing is, guys, you know, it's great when people come up and say, oh, we should have this guy or that guy. Who are your alternatives? And we've seen some summers that there's some summers where three or four of the top six or seven GMs in terms of pedigree are available, and it's easy to pick, just like coaches. Some years it's not so obvious, and you know, so if not Kyle, who? And right now, from the list of candidates that I've seen, you know, for the good and the bad, whatever you might think, I think Kyle would be a good choice.
Mike Zeisberger from NHL.com on with Cook and Joe. And we're going to get more into this Penguins GM search. Dan Kangurski is going to join us around 8:20, 8:25. And we'll dive into more of his thoughts, get a different opinion. Dan also, once upon a time, worked in Toronto before he came back home to Pittsburgh. So he knows that market. He knows people up there. So his perspective will be interesting. Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. As we continue on this Memorial Day weekend, I don't know if anybody locally represents Memorial Day and sports like Rocky Blyer, four-time Super Bowl Steeler, described what he did when he was over there and that day where he was wounded and what obviously this day means. That's next on 93.7 The Fan. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Jeff Hathorn with you on this Memorial Day weekend. on a Sunday morning, and you heard about Folds of Honor. They are tremendous. What a job they do in helping young men find scholarships. Interestingly enough, Rocky Blyer has recently been honored for his work with the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation in helping military children get college scholarships. Most of us are aware of the story. Rocky injured in Vietnam, fighting his way back, making the Steelers roster after 2 years, told he probably would never walk again, winning four titles and becoming, you know, a legend in this area. The way he works, what he did. Obviously, he's coming off a, you know, you're playing football at Notre Dame, and you're then in Vietnam. And Rocky talked with the veterans, with the American Veterans Center. And just want you to hear a couple of clips from this. First off is what he said about his job when he got to Vietnam.
So I'm now waiting for my new company to come up. And so they just come up out of the field, the commanding officer and first sergeant and the rest of the platoon. And so I'm going, ooh. And they're just drudging themselves up. And I was the first new guy to be introduced to this company in 3 months. And my first reaction to them was, ooh, they looked old. I mean, they had that 1,000-yard stare. They just were drudging coming up the hill. And so I met my commanding officer, Tom Murphy, at the time, met the first sergeant. He assigned me to the first squad. I said, okay, or first platoon. Then I got into the first squad. And then they said, okay, we need a grenadier. So you'll carry the M79 grenade launcher. Okay, fine. So I carried the M79 grenade launcher. Now, the M79 grenade launcher was like a shotgun. So it was a one-shot broken barrel. You know, you put a grenade in, shoot it off your hip, shoot it off. But you had to carry all your grenades along with you. So I had to carry 60 grenades with me when we were doing these sweeps and so on. And so that was, and they weren't light. So that was my responsibility.
I mean, can those that haven't served, those of us that haven't served, think about you're carrying a grenade launcher with 60 grenades around your body. You went from playing football at Notre Dame to being halfway across the world in a war, and here you are carrying that. Rocky would see action, and obviously get injured in a firefight. And this is, I think this is important on Memorial Day to hear his story. This is the American Veterans Center, his discussion about what happened the day he was injured in Vietnam.
We knew, or there had been information over the last several days, we were on alert. We, as a company, were on alert, 24-hour alert over the last 2-3 days, that anything can happen. So from intelligence, we knew something was going on. As a private, I didn't know whatever was going on. And so all of a sudden, Company D had been hit. They were in a firefight in the field. So we were then extracted off of LZ Siberia down at the field, and we were to get to them to help get them out of that hot spots. And by the time we got to them, it was late in the evening. So as we were coming in to see them, it was night, a firefight was going on, helicopters, and you could see tracer bullets going back and forth. And we're picking up the wounded and the dead as best they could during that period of time. So we got to Delta Company, and was at night, as I had made mention. So finally, there was no fighting that was taking place. And the word was, okay, fine, we're going to move out. And so we were to pull front and rear security. What people were left behind, and there were five dead soldiers that we had to carry out. And so that was our responsibility. So I was one of the guys. We put a, you know, very simple bamboo pole, tied them to the bamboo pole, and carried them, started carrying them out as we did the other. So as we're moving out of this area, the point people ran into another firefight late at night. And so all of a sudden, I don't know, it must have been about 10 o'clock at night or so, we dropped the bodies. We were in a firefight. And then the word was, okay, we're going to leave the bodies and let's move out, because we're afraid that they would find our location and then start lobbing. Mortars into that location to hit us. So we moved out back to our secured area in which had been set up by another company. So we did. Now, 2 days later, our mission is on a reinforced company, or platoon, I should say, reinforced platoon. We're going back to retrieve those bodies. So I was with our commanding officer. And our platoon. And so we had just taken a break about 8 o'clock in the morning, find our location, and word was to move out, okay, on an open rice paddy. Keep 5 yards distance between one another, keep your eyes and ears open, enemy, they're around.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.